Well, good evening. It's been a long time. My voice is starting being on the mend, and I'm feeling good, and we're going to have a good time tonight. And I'm going to give you the phone numbers in case you want to call in and talk about anything you'd like to talk about. The toll-free number is for USA and Canada is 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide toll-free is 877-489-6350. And then the direct line is 530-776-5154. We're going to be talking about emotions tonight. And anxiousness and depression and anger and doubt and fear. And how do these emotions serve us? Or do they even serve us? And then the next question always is why do we choose these emotions versus why do we choose anxiousness and depression and doubt and fear versus contentment, happiness, knowingness, fearlessness? We have choices of which ones we want to participate in, to use in our everyday life. Which ones are we going to use? Are we going to use the anger and the doubt and the fear? Or are we going to choose contentment and happiness, knowingness, fearlessness? And it's our choice which one we want to do, which ones we want to use. And then at the end of my program tonight, I told a story that I wrote last week. And I got some good comments on it that they liked the stories. Well, come to find out, I've written a few short stories. And so I'm going to end the evening with a bedtime story. And I hope you like it. So anyway, these emotions, why do we have them? And where on earth did they come from? The anger and the depression and the anxiousness. Well, come to find out, they did come from earth. And it came from people who wanted to control other people. That's where it all started. Ironically, other people have driven into what is called social consciousness, the cannot-dos. Dream, but not too big, because you probably aren't going to make it. Wish on a star, and then maybe it will happen. And then there's always, who do you think you are thinking so big? What you're supposed to do, you should go to work for 40 hours a week and forget about all this nonsense. You'll never get the money that you need to be able to make that come to fruition. Anyway, you need health insurance for when you get sick, so stick with your job. This is what we hear. We hear in social consciousness the can'ts and the won'ts. The attitude of social consciousness keeps dreams from happening. And this all developed thousands of years ago when the first person started telling other people that they wanted to control what they couldn't do and they can't do. And the can't-dos have grown immensely through years. Ironically, we listen to other people tell us that we can't do. We give them so much power. In my book, my foreword was written about perceptions. And it goes as follows. Perception is defined as insight, awareness, sensitivity, discernment, and observation. To name a few perceptions of the word perception, the world and everything in it was and is created through individual perceptions. On this planet alone, there are over 6 billion perceptions. 6 billion. Each individual has a perception. So the question becomes, which perception is correct? An even bigger question becomes, out of the 6 billion perceptions living on this planet right now, if not one perception is correct, then which one of the billions of entities living before us was right? If 6 billion perceptions today living on this planet, if none of them's correct, which one of the billions and billions of people before us, which one of their perceptions is correct? Then this leads to even a bigger question. Which one of the thousands of translations or perceptions of the individuals doing the translations was correct in interpreting the perception that they were translating? Which interpretation do we use? The Bible has been written and rewritten and rewritten. The King James Version alone tells you that this is his perception of the Bibles that they're translating from. It tells you right on the front cover, this is King James's version of what him and his translators have come up with for the other 100 or so translations of the Bible up to that time. So the bottom line is always, which perception is correct? And the answer is, they all are. Everybody's perception is correct and right for them. That's why God made us an individual. Everyone perceives life and the world through their own individual lens. Then this is the greatest gift given to humankind from the single source. Call that single source whatever you may. This single source gave humankind the brain to think individually without judgment. This is what is called unconditional love. What greater love could there be by allowing its human's creation to think and act individually and still love them without conditions? This single source, this single source from the moment of its realization and the start of its creation's process created without judging itself. The single source won't knowingly judge its creation because it knows that one judgment would end loving itself unconditionally. Since everything is God and everything came from God, how could God ever judge itself? It would stop unconditional love in its tracks. And so you say, well, this is only a part of God. And I would say to you, where did you come from? Where did a car come from? Where did a pencil come from? Where did a glass come from? And you will say, well, it came from the sand and it came from the metals. And then the question again would, but where did the metals come from? And where did the sand come from? And then you go, well, you know, we had the Big Bang. Well, where did the Big Bang come from? And you go back, and you go back, and you go back. Until you go back from the single source, everything came from the single source. And so everything came from God. And if there was something else besides God, a different alloy, you would have to say where that source came from. God, the thought, the creator, the isness, spirituality, the light, it can't separate from itself. Because if there was any separation, we'd have to go to that single source. And you can't have two single sources, can you? There's only one thing. That's why we say everyone, anyone, someone else. It's one thing. And you're it. We are a thought of the one thing. Our body, like somebody so wisely told me this week, it's the spacesuit of our spirit. Who's in our head pulling the plugs, pushing the buttons, flipping the switches? What would we be without our body? Well, we'll be our personality, spiritual self. And then we'd have to ask where our personality came from. And then we're going to find the thing that is flipping the switch and pushing the buttons, cranking the gears. That thing resides in each one of us. It's the driver of who we are. And when it created the spacesuit, it gave the spacesuit free will. And unconditional love means you cannot override the free will. We can't have it both ways. We cannot say that God loves us unconditionally except for all of these sins, which are, you know, in the thousands by this time. So if God ever judged itself, because there's only one thing, life as we know it would end. There's only a continuum of creations. That's all we do here is create. Live, breathe, eat, and create. That's it. We create every day. We don't have to be an artist to create. We create our living. We create our houses. We create our cars. We create kids. That's all we do is create. So the only question is, what is it that you want to create? And so far, social consciousness is telling us we can't create anything because if something's going to go wrong. So if we all think like social consciousness, the can'ts and the won'ts, we get nowhere. We just, you know, like most of us feel, well, I'll take it me out of that. And so many people think they're in this rut, and it's the same O and the same O and the same O every day, and they can't get out of the rut. You know why they can't get out of the rut? Because they haven't thought themselves out of the rut. They think they have to live like this. 99.99% of the humans on the earth think that they have to continue living the way they do. But thank God, that one thing, we have a small percentage of those that do not listen to social consciousness. They say, I'm not living like this. I'm not going to clock in 40 hours a week. And they think themselves out of the factory. They think themselves out of the sewing mills. They think themselves out of anything that they do that they hate. Where most of them will stay there hating their jobs, there's that one bright light over in the corner that says, I can't do this job one more day. I can't. I don't know what it's going to take, but I'm taking the leap. And that's where faith comes in. And a lot of people have done very well with that, thank you very much. So these thinkers think outside of the box. and they, those thinkers lead us into human advancement, because the 99.99% look and they go, oh my God, look what he's doing, God, I wish I could do that. And you know what? They just wish, and they'll never think themselves out, because then her next sentence is, but I need life insurance, I need medical insurance, and so I'll stay where I am. But the thinkers, the ones that think outside the box, they're going for it. And they get rewarded. But sometimes it takes a long time to do something. But the thinkers, they won't, they'll go against all of the odds to fulfill their dreams. They will listen to no one except that voice that's in within that they've learned to trust. And no matter how strange it may be to others, no matter how others talk down about their dream, no matter what obstacles they think they see, because we only see obstacles. We think them into existence. So no matter what obstacles they think they see, nothing, no thing will stop them from bringing their dreams to fruition. Walt Disney is a classic example. He went to 150 banks before one agreed to finance his dream. Then the rest is history on that one. Colonel Sanders, he started the Kentucky Fried Chicken with his first retirement check of $108. So what is the difference between those who are quote unquote successful in realizing their dreams and those who dream are only that, perpetual dreams? It's their attitude. It's their knowingness. It is the can-dos. It's the not a problem, let's go for it. It's the what needs to happen and whatever it takes. Those are the thoughts that bring dreams into life. The only difference between those who can and those who can't is the way they think. They do not think within the boundaries of social consciousness or think outside a box with a can-do attitude. That's all they do. There's this great book out there. It's called Do What You Love and Money Will Follow. That is such a true, true statement. Just ask those who have followed that advice. There are thousands of people who have stopped working for someone else and gone into the business for themselves successfully doing what they love. Do businesses fail? Yes, they do. But I will bet you that the thoughts backing that business have fear and doubts riddled with them. You see, anxiousness comes from fear and doubt thoughts. Get rid of the fear and doubt thoughts, and anxiousness will go away. People get anxious because they don't know what the future will bring if they decide to make a move outside of social consciousness. First of all, the family and the friends will give you all the why nots just by you even mentioning what you might want to do one day. And they will pile on their oh my God thoughts. I can't believe you're thinking this way thoughts. And many people go, yeah, you're right. And your dream is lost. Because why? They listen to someone else besides themselves. That is not the way God set this thing up, for the single source, or Allah, or whatever it you want to call it. It gave each person an individual brain to think individually, to create individually. We have to create individual, because if we didn't, we wouldn't have crayons. We wouldn't have Disneyland. We wouldn't have Kentucky Fried Chicken. We wouldn't have a gazillion dentists. We wouldn't have all these different creations. We wouldn't have a lot of these people writing kids' books. You know, one kid book author does not go copy another kid book author. They create on their own. This is God creating individually through a lot of embodiments. Once you allow this thing within you to come forth and come through you, I'm trying to think of the word, but if you step aside and let it flow through you and allow it to do its thing, it will deliver. But it's just you and this thing. It's not you and the rest of the world. It's your decision what to do with your life. I find it amazing when I talk to people sometimes, well, I'm going to ask Joe what I should do. Are you kidding me? You're going to ask Joe what to do with your life? When you've got this thing within you that can outperform Joe, standing on its head, its tippy toes, going circles around Joe? And I know what you know, that I know what you know that I'm what I'm talking about, because each of us intrinsically has the idea within us that we are more than what we are. There's not one of you listening to me right now that hasn't had a dream outside social consciousness. If it wasn't available, why would you not be able to dream? Why would you dream about it? Why would you only dream about things social consciousness agrees to be within social consciousness guidelines? Why would you ever dream outside the box? Because inside somewhere, within you, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are more, you are way more than what you are playing right now. The game that you're playing right now, most of us, is called a rut. We are playing the rut game. And we do it day in and day out. And we have this little dream in the back of our brain going, hello, I'm still here. We can do this. And then, you know, after you told your family about it 6 months ago, and your friends, it just eats at you every day. And you get more depressed, and more anxious, and more fearful. You know why? Because you're afraid you're going to die before your dream is experienced. And you know what? You're right. You are going to die. Actually, you've already died. Your body's just going through the motions. You're dead. You are spiritually dead. Oh, well. I had a friend of mine. I'm working on a project. I've worked on it for years and years and years. And it's coming to fruition. And, but about 2 years ago, I had somebody give me a lecture for about 15 minutes that said, he's seen so many people fail, and they have the most brilliant ideas, but they failed. Like, I should fail because they did. And he gave me this lecture for the longest time, and it came from his heart. I know it did. But talk about a person you don't want to listen to. I'm strong enough not to listen. I have to say, though, it affected me for a while. I really went through, because what I'm working on is pretty big, and I'm thinking, maybe he's right. Maybe I should give this dream up. And it did affect me for a few months, actually. I kind of went into a rut. But that's when you dig deep. When you allow somebody else to listen to their naysaying, when in your heart of hearts you know you're right. And if someone like me can be affected, and I'm a very strong person, and I don't listen to anybody, but it hit me at a moment, a time in my life where I'm going, oh, man. And I started questioning my dream and my ability to pull it off. Because what I'm working on is so far out of my realm. When a story comes out, and it will one day, I'm in the middle of this dream, and I cannot believe it. I mean, I'm in awe of my own story. But I just about allowed someone else, I just about listened to them. And it took me a few months, literally, to pull myself back out of that. And then I went forward, and I'm right there. And then about,
Hello? Hello?
Hi, how, this is Ian. What would you like to talk about?
I'm just wondering, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing really, really good. Do you have a question?
No, this is the first time I saw your radio station, so I thought I'd call in to say hi.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to talk about?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in.
Alrighty, have a good night.
Thank you, you too. So anyway, what I was saying was, I recently got some news that wasn't the best news in the world. And I knee-jerked into a human reaction instead of a spiritual, godlike reaction. Took me a few days, but I turned it around because you cannot say, this is my sandbox and this is how I am directing it. I'm creating it. I'm decorating it. You can't have that and then have some news like this and go, oh, you're going to interfere with my sandbox. Uh-uh. No. No one interferes with your sandbox. No one. And you just blow them away. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm blowing that news away out of my box. It has nothing to do with me anymore. How do I know I can do this? Because God, the Creator, the one that I am and you are and everybody out there, you are not a part of God. You are 100% God. And if you're not 100% God, then you have to give me the alloy of the part of God that you are not, that, you know, you're only a part of. So let's say if you're a quarter God, if you'll accept that you're 25% God, then you have to tell me where the other 75% came from. And if it's not from the single source, the very beginning, then you're going to have to tell me where it came from, because that what you're saying is there's two single sources. So how do we do this? Well, because God has no limits. God never, when he started creating, he didn't say, I can't create this, and I can't create that, because that would be judgment. God doesn't judge. If he judged himself, he wouldn't be creating. So he allowed all these little bodies, you, me, everyone. These embodiments are the spaceships of the individual God of the whole. And all these little goddies do is create. So since God has no limit, and God, the ego is God, the unlimited beingness that has no limitations. Ego equals God. Anything that is not unlimited is altered. Thus the term altered ego. Altered ego has conditions. Altered ego has limitations. Ego has no limits. So, people, there's a lot of people out there, Donald Trump being one, everybody says, well, he's got such a big ego. Well, probably does. Actually, he does, because he's unlimited in his thinking. That does not mean that he may know exactly how being unlimited works through thought processing, but all he knows is that he can. That's all he knows. That's all he needs to know. That he can. That's all anyone needs to know, actually, is that they can. Whether they know about the power within them or not, or how it works, as long as they know they can, they will. It's called free will. Well, I'm going to give out my, I'd like to have some call-ins if you have let me see, I got to get my document here. If you have some questions and would like to talk about anything, the number is, for the USA and Canada, is 888-228-4494. Worldwide, toll-free, is 877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. If there's anybody out there wanting to work on a manifestation, you may want to call in and we can like work it through together. Even though it's totally up to you, you know, call in and let's see if we can put a game plan together about your thought process and where you want to go and what you want to manifest, and do a live manifestation, if you will. And then we can just take it from there. So anyway, we know that God has no limits. That's a gimme. No limits. Zero limits. Nada limits. And so when you think, oh, I can't do that, God has no limits, and so therefore you can't. The irony of that one. God can't as well as God can. Which one do you want to choose? Do you want to be sad or happy? Which one do you want to choose? Once you decide that you want to go and learn about this power within you, once you make just that decision, you are going to get a new feeling within your body. I want to know everything. I want to know how powerful I am. I want to know how to manifest. I want to know and meet this power within me. By the way, that is just waiting for you to let it out of the closet. It's just sitting there waiting for you. If you knew that there was your dream sitting inside of your brain waiting to be brought into the physical world. If you knew 100% that if you just open that door, your dream will come starting in the, it's at the starting gate, and will run to help you get to your dream. If you were absolutely guaranteed that, would you open the door? I'm telling you, you're absolutely 100% agreed to that. It has no limitations. It only has your dreams to fulfill. That's all it does. Well, I think I'm going to read my story. Now, and we'll see if anybody wants to call in afterwards. So my story is called Sarah. One day, in the land of Once Upon Forever, by the way, this is your Betty by Sunday night story from my Peaskins. One day, in the land of Once Upon Forever, there lived a little entity named Sarah. Sarah carried her teddy bear with her wherever she went. One night in her village, she was supposed to be in bed, but decided she would visit the elders around the light of the night that brought forth warmth. Sarah, with her teddy bear in hand, approached the circle of elders. They were all sitting on logs and rocks, staring into the light that brought forth warmth. None of the elders were speaking, just staring into the warm light. Sarah walked up to the greatest of elders and handed him her teddy bear. "Hold him. He brings smiles," she said. "Oh, Sarah, now is not the time to play," replied the greatest of elders, and stared past her into the light. Sarah next went to the woman who is the keeper of all knowledge of food. "Here, hug him, because he will fill your heart, Sarah," the kindest of all women said. The elders are having a talk on what they must do in order to eat. "I will hug him after we are finished. Go to sleep. I will be there soon." Sarah could see that none of the elders were really paying attention to her, and so she sat down and leaned against the log in front of the light that gave warmth and stared like the elders. Soon, she was dreaming of a time in the land of Once Upon Forever when Sarah was playing in the meadow and an entity approached, when an entity appeared before her. "Sarah," said the low, gentle voice. "Sarah, little one who knows nothing but love, soon your village will be needing your guidance. All you have to do is to be you." And with that, the entity left. Sarah had forgotten about that time in Once Upon Forever, but upon remembering, she awoke with a startle. She got up and went to her hovel and retrieved some sweetened bread that was made from the liquid of the tree and brought it to the elders. As she passed it around, they smiled and thanked Sarah, but hardly noticed her. Sarah again sat down and stared into the light that brought forth warmth. She thought. "Just be myself." After several minutes, Sarah became chilled and grabbed the blanket at the foot of the greatest of elders and held it up to him. The elder looked into Sarah's eyes. They were drooping, barely staying open. The elder took the blanket, wrapped it around Sarah and her teddy bear, and pulled them into his arms and lap, and rocked her for only a few moments before she was sound asleep. The elder stared into the child's face and saw her innocence. He saw the serenity of her soul. He knew that as a child, she knew not the danger of the lack of staples for the village. He knew that as a child, she knew she would be taken care of. He knows that a child has no fear. They just know. They just know they are going to be taken care of. Strange, he thought. Here we are wondering how to feed the village, and Sarah, bright, smiling Sarah, comes and gives everyone sweetened bread, giving no thought as to the next morsel. Giving only as an innocent child can give, with total love, with no fear, just being a child. The elder began remembering a story passed on from his forefathers and the forefathers before them. The story tells of giving and never wanting. The forefathers would warn of not keeping on or holding on to any worldly goods because it insulted the father of all the fathers. Holding on to worldly goods, they would say, says that the great father of fathers cannot take care of his children. Holding on and not giving tells the great father that he is not able to support his children, that they don't trust the father of fathers who has given, who has already given his children this beautiful earth and everything in it. Supporting his children with everything they want and need. With this remembrance, the greatest of elders stood up with Sarah in his arms and said, "Go to your hovels and sleep in peace. The greatest of fathers will provide for us." Then the greatest of elders turned and said no more and took Sarah to her bed, covered her and her teddy bear, and kissed them both on the forehead. The village never again spoke of lack, and lack never came unto the village in the land of once upon forever. See, the moral of this story is what you think and what you speak of happens. When they eliminated lack from their vocabulary, when they eliminated, oh my God, where are we going to get our next morsel from their vocabulary, when they eliminated holding on to such thoughts, it never came to them. Why? Because they didn't think about it anymore. And they didn't speak of it anymore. And when you don't think of something and you don't speak of something, it comes, doesn't come into your reality. It can't come. And the reason so many are in ruts is because they talk about it every day. They talk about everything that went wrong in their life today. They talk about every bad thing that somebody said to them today. They tell you of everything that they wanted to happen but didn't happen today. And they're not even going to think about it anymore because since it doesn't happen, why think about it anymore today? So they're setting their whole future up today. And what they just talked about is going to happen again tomorrow. And they're going to complain again tomorrow to set up the next day. If you could just stop that right there. If something doesn't, because right now you're going through 2 weeks ago's films. If you want that film to stop, just cut it off, right, you know, all the thoughts that you've had before, you know, the reel in your head. If you just go up to a blank reel and you cut away and leave the first blank frame there and they cut away everything else and throw it away, blow it off. Blow it off. Haven't you ever wondered why people, when they have pain, they blow? Why? Because it blows the pain away. When women are pregnant, they tell them to blow. They're blowing the pain away. You're blowing it off. That's what that's there for. Blow it off. Listen to the words. Listen to the meaning behind it. Blow it off. So all the things that you've been complaining about, all the things that haven't happened, all the bad things that has happened, blow them away. They are not in your existence any longer, period. End of story. And start with that new blank film, the frame, the blank frame on the film. And start filling up the frames of things you want to happen, not the things that didn't happen. Because they're not going to happen, and they're not going to happen. And a year from now, they're not going to happen. Because you have declared it so. You keep on bringing this crappy stuff back into your life from the way you think, from the way you talk, and from the way you act. You have a lot of changing to do. It's not about what you see out front affecting what's inside your head. It's the opposite way around. Whatever is inside your head and whichever way you speak and whichever way you act and the attitude that you have, will affect everything in front of you. That's how it works. Everything that you need is within you. That is such a blanketed statement, and it is so true. It took me a lot of years to figure that one out. Use my experience of figuring that one out. There is nothing outside of you that you need. Everything that you need to make your life the way you want it is inside of you. Everything. And where does it come from? The nothing. At one point in time, Walt Disney did not have the thought of Disneyland in his head. And then one day, out of nowhere, a thought pops in and goes, Walt, I'm here. I've got this beautiful plan. It's called, we're going to call it Disneyland. It's going to have mice and little rats and pumpkins that turn into carts. Beautiful. And we know what? There's this castle over in Europe. And we can, like, design Cinderella's castle right like that. One day, those thoughts popped into Walt Disney's head. Where did those thoughts came from? It came from nowhere. It was a no thing. It was a thought. There's a billions and billions and billions of thoughts. They're called potentials. We call it the river of thought, the ethers, some people call it. And all these thoughts, it's just this river flowing. And you have to be open-minded to catch one. Obviously, Walt Disney was a very open-minded man. And when those thoughts entered his head, he goes, ah, hey, that sounds fun. Let's do it. What is it going to take? Oh, it doesn't matter. We're just going to do it. It doesn't matter what it's going to take, because we're just going to do it. And if something blocks my way, if there's a block wall, I'm walking around it. I'm plowing through it. I'm climbing over it, because nothing's going to stop me. I have just found my dream. I'm not going to let anybody stop me. I am not going to let another one stop my dream. Are you kidding me? This is great. I better talk to some people. Walt, are you crazy? Do you know how many millions of people, dollars that's going to take? Who would do this? Well, there's got to be another one who would help me with my dreams. So I'm opening up my sandbox, and I'm putting out signs. Dream to be helped with. I need help, like-minded people. Please inquire within. And guess what? His thought process that he sent out to the ethers, another one, picked up the thought, and then Walt and the designer showed up. Walt and an architect met up. Walt and a bunch of cartoonists met up. All these like-minded people came into Walt's sandbox. And they all delivered Disney World. But do you know how many blocks he had to get there? One of his walls was 150 banks turned him down. 150 another ones said no. Didn't stop him. He just went to another one. It was 151 first bank that said, great idea. Let's do it. He found another open-minded banker. And that's how things get done. When the single source, in this case, Walt Disney, single source, gets excited, he gets the adrenaline going, he gets the emotions going, and he's putting up help wanted signs on his sandbox. And people will flock. If you build it, they will come. I love that movie. It chills. I get chills. Probably watched it 10 times already. Every time I see it, I get chills. Because I know, personally, without any question. Hello? Without any questions that if you will build it, they will come. True statement. But you have to want it. You have to want it more than you want to breathe. And if you want to get there faster, because your emotions will get it there. But if you want some help, you will use that power within you. You will open its door and say to it, hey, I've heard that you can help me. And it will say, absolutely I can help you. What would you like to have happen? Well, I've got this dream. Oh, dreams. They're my best. I can do dreams. What is it? What is it you want? Do you want this or that or that? Tell me what you want. I love to do dreams. Give me a shot here, please. Let me do one small dream for you first, just to show you that I can do it. I love dreams. Which one do you want to manifest first? Tell me. We'll do it together. But if you don't want to do it, I can do it for you. You don't have to do too much. I'll bring all the stuff. Now, you've got to do the physical stuff. You've got to, draw the drawings. I can't draw the drawings. You've got the physical hands. And you might have to, go to the bank or work on the computer. I'll tell you what to say. If you just listen to me, we can do this together. We're in this together. Oh, my God, I'm so glad you opened this door. I've been waiting for such a long time. Please don't put me back in there. But if you want to put me back in there, that's okay, because I love you unconditionally. and I gave you free will. I know I did, and I'm going to honor that. I'm not the God that says I unconditionally give you free will and then take it back by setting a bunch of conditions. That's not me. Those are other people. So anyway, my little peacekins, it is now time to say goodnight. Write those questions down. I know you all want to rush to the phone next week. You know, I'm not manifesting very well with people who want to call in. It's the one manifestation that I haven't made so far. But I'm building it, and I know sooner or later you guys are going to start calling in, and we're going to have a dialogue. I'd love to have dialogue. So anyway, I'm out of here till next week. Manifest something this week. Call in. Let me know what it's all about next week. If you need help with manifestation, let's see what we can do. Until then, peacekins, you have a great manifesting week. Go in peace. Be in peace. Because that's what you were created for, to be peaceful. Talk to you next week. Bye.